We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Four panels and eight laces, let's chop, baby. Texans GM Nick Caserio, he has found another interior offensive lineman that should improve this offensive line in a big way. That offensive lineman is former Green Bay Packer, 8-year NFL vet, Lane Taylor. He is a guard, a former starting guard in this league the last 2 years. He started maybe four games over as a whole over the last couple of years. Clearly had some injury issues, so there's a reason why he's available. There's a reason why he fits what the Texans GM Nick Caserio wants to do. That the guy that's in that fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year in the league that you can get for one reason or another on a short 1 or 2 year deal, and you can get at a reasonable number. Lane Taylor falls in that category, show, but more importantly, he upgrades this offensive line in a major way. Interior offensive line, guard, center, guard was a problem for the Houston Texans. And I think if you look at the potential guard, center guards on this team right now, it's in much better shape than it was 3 or 4 months ago, given Nick Caserio's made several moves there.
Yeah, we talked about the secondary, especially at corner. They struggled mightily and needed an upgrade, we thought, in talent. And then the offensive line, whether it was coaching and talent, especially those three, as you talked about, the guards and centers, they have upgraded that position both on the coaching side and the personnel side. And this is just another addition. And also continuing to do what it is that they have done, and that is short-term deals. And, hey, if Lane Taylor is somebody who, just like Britt, the center that they signed, is somebody who you say, okay, this is a guy that we think could keep going. He's only 8 years in for an offensive lineman. You may sign him and look at him as a guy that you keep on a longer term, 3 to 4 more years.
Absolutely.
If he can go. So this is another good move by Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby and company, and I think it makes a lot of sense.
I think the key to point out here is that clearly the Texans are getting him for a reason. He fits the parameters of veterans that Nick Caserio wants to sign. But more importantly, the new offensive line coach for the Houston Texans, and you got to believe that he's going to be the running game coordinator. I don't know that he's been given that title or not, but you got to believe that he's going to fit that position at some point in time. James Campen, he was in Green Bay for several years. 5 of those years, he was with Lane Taylor. And Lane Taylor started for 3 of those years and got a good bulk of the season. I don't know exactly how many starts he got per season, but it was a good chunk of starts over a 3-year span when James Campen was the guy. So James Campen's very aware of what Lane Taylor brings to the table and what he doesn't bring to the table. And you got to think that he's bringing these guys in a lot like Justin McCray, I believe he crossed paths with in Green Bay. You got to believe he's bringing these guys in here to really solidify this offensive line from the inside out. I think things are looking up for James Campen, for the offensive line, for the Houston Texans. And one thing I have no problem saying at this point is that interior offensive line position is much better. Show, the draft's coming up in, I don't know, 15 days, 14 days, something like that. Trevor Lawrence is undisputed, the number one draft pick. I think he's been slotted there on every mock draft from start to finish.
And I think like the Jacksonville Jaguars have gone ahead and slotted him there as well.
Yeah, slide him to playbook and let him ride. Well, there was he is on the cover of the next issue of Sports Illustrated. It's a 2021 NFL Draft edition. And on that cover, he's catching a lot of heat right now is where I'm going with that. And part of it is on that cover, there's literally down in you know how on Sports Illustrated we're down the right side, they give you just a little one line or a little one sentence of what's in the article or you know what's in this magazine, this issue. But next to Trevor Lawrence's picture, it says, "What is the best QB prospect in years out to prove?" Question mark. And it says, "Absolutely nothing." Well, inside, I've not read the article, but I've read the lines that have been pulled out of the article and highlighted across the landscape of the NFL on every TV and radio show. But Trevor Lawrence's comments, there's a couple different parts here that he's catching some serious heat over. Trevor Lawrence apparently said, "I think it's unhealthy just always thinking that you've got to prove somebody wrong. You've got to do more. You got to do better." And he's catching some serious heat over not being the guy that is just ate up. Tom Brady, you mentioned it early, not being Tom Brady, who's just ate up with being the best and speaks about it, walks the walk, and is just his quality of life, if he doesn't win a football game, seems to be to take a hit. Trevor Lawrence just isn't that guy, and he's taking a ton of heat for it.
Well, listen, the only thing that I kind of looked at was when he talked about, you know, basically paraphrasing, I wouldn't the Super Bowl, doing whatever it takes to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, his father was actually quoted saying he's not, in quotes, "I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs." And his father also said he could walk away from it tomorrow and be fine.
Yeah, that part I don't love, but it's not – I think that's just a little bit of my old, even at 36, old school thought of things. But look, man, most people aren't psychopaths like Tom right. And like Jordan and like Kobe was and like Tiger. Like most people aren't just nutcases.
Right.
With this is all of it. This is it. Like, they don't give a damn about other portions of their life. They'll ruin marriages. They don't care. Like, most people aren't like that. And you don't have to be great to be that. LeBron's not like that. He cares and focuses on other things. Mahomes focuses on other things. Not everyone's a psycho. And so I know most people want their quarterback to be Tom, but everybody's not that.
Yeah, I think this is opportunistic, right?
Aaron wants to host Jeopardy.
Right. This is a chance to take a shot at a guy that's on the top. And I think it's low-hanging fruit. I think it's for people that get bothered by this 21, 22-year-old and these kinds of comments, I think they're easily triggered. And I think they need to get a hobby, ultimately. This is one of those deals for me where it's less about what the kid says and more about how he approaches his job, right? Is he competitive as hell?
Is he competitive? Does he want to be great?
The want to be great thing, I think, show too.
I'm into that.
It's like, I don't give a damn if we're playing marbles. I'm competitive as hell. I don't want to lose. And that's what drives me. Not because I just love the games. No, I love to compete and I love my dudes. I love spending time around the guys and I love the thought of getting a group together, whether it's us three in this radio studio or it's 11 guys in a huddle and going, okay, we got to beat those guys enough times to where we cross the goal line and we score points. I didn't love the game of football. I'm okay with a guy not loving the game of football or not wanting to be the greatest quarterback to ever play. But I need you to be competitive and want to win on a snap-in, snap-out basis and a game-in, game-out basis, day-to-day, week-to-week, to give us a chance to win. And I'm more about, what is that? How's that dude acting, right? Like, what is he – if he just – all of a sudden, if he's the last one in, first one out, then these comments are a problem.
Yeah.
They're problematic.
I'm going to love the guy again. I want him to love the game. I want him to – if I'm investing in that, I want him to be somebody who loves the game and wants to be great. But I think Russell Wilson loves the game and wants to be great. But he ain't Tom.
Right.
And Tom is just – this is the only thing he thinks about. When he wakes up and it goes to bed at night. Thomas plays 50. I don't need that. I don't need that from Trevor.
We got a deal. So we got a deal. we've got a deal. It looks like the NFL. Tyler, help me with the details here because I'm switching up on my topic.
So
here.
It's a crazy time, man. They got official betting of the NFL now with FanDuel, DraftKings, and Caesars Entertainment. Those are the official betting partners of the NFL.
It's just a matter of time before that big money, that betting money.
Oh, yeah.
That legal betting money hits the NFL, and them contracts are going to get even more outrageous. I'm here for this, by the way.
Yeah, everybody, more money, huh?
I'm here for guys making more money, but I'm here for legalizing sports betting.
Yeah.
I'm here for it to be a family event.
Sean Pendergast just lost it.
Well, yeah, no question about that. But I'm just here for it to be the hey, let's let the wifey maybe bet a dollar or two on the first half of the Texans game. I mean, look, I'm not saying you have a problem. I mean, you need to call the 1-800 number if you got a problem.
I had one.
I'm just saying I actually enjoy it.
I know you do.
Since we're on the betting topic, let me hit you with this one. DraftKings Sportsbook, they've done it. The betting favorite, I know this is probably not going to come to a surprise many of y'all, the betting favorite to go number 3 overall to San Francisco in the 2021 draft, the betting favorite. Anybody want to take a wild guess? It's the guy that had a last pro day.
It's Justin Fields.
It's Justin Fields. It was Mac Jones. Now it's Justin Fields. Justin Fields minus 121 to be the number 3 overall draft pick to the San Francisco 49ers. No surprise. Mac Jones is plus 100 and Trey Lance is plus 300. But Trey Lance, I believe he has a pro day. Hell, it may be today. It's either day or Monday. But anyway, he's got a pro day coming up, so he may jump into that slot as the favorite to go number 3 overall. But right now, Justin Fields is the betting favorite to be the number 3 overall pick to the San Francisco
49ers. Well, it should have happened because the thought should be Kyle Shanahan's not an idiot.
Correct.
Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch aren't an idiot. They're not going to move and give up 3 first-round picks to go draft Kirk Cousins. Who does that? Maybe to draft what they have already in Jimmy Garoppolo. They're not moving up to go pick up Mac Jones.
I'll take Kirk Cousins on a rookie contract.
In the 4th round.
Fair.
You're not trading 3 first round picks
no,
to move up from 12 to 3
no.
to get him.
No, hell no.
Literally. It should be. He should be. That should be the thought. He's not an idiot. Listen, Houston, I'm telling you right now, when you hear the words from one of your Astros' highest paid players, what he had to say after the game last night, you are going to be PO'd. I'll let you hear that coming up next. So I was supposed to have to buy you two lunch today if the Astros were able to get 5 runs. All they had to do was get 5, and damn, they got 4. Ah,
now I'm hungry.
Dog, bite it? Oh, that would have been big time.
Damn you, Tucker.
And they had many a chances.
Well, Kyle Tucker.
Abe Toro, he was up there, too, with the bases.
Yeah, you can talk about
well.
Abe Toro all you want. Abe Toro, hell, his expectations are really low.
Kyle Tucker's the
Kyle
one that
Tucker.
Did you in.
0 yeah. for 4, 7, run, 7 base runners in, left in scoring position.
Not very Ted-esque.
Yeah, that'll get you every time, won't it?
Runners in scoring position, 7 of them left on base by one guy.
And
in a must-win game.
And I can – must-win.
Yes. They were – now, what does that make it, 5 straight now?
It's a 12th
yeah.
game of the season.
It's a must-win because I wanted lunch, damn it.
Yeah,
okay.
That too.
Okay, must-win for that.
It was a must-score must for that it. For damn sure.
Clint Sterner's in mid-season form going to must-win game in game 12 of 162. That's all right, though. But even with that, because I can see the anger bubbling in your eyes about Kyle Tucker.
I'm mad at you, for you mouthing off right there.
I can see it in your eyes. I know you right now are you can see that plate appearance where you knew he didn't have a chance at any of those pitches that were thrown to him. Did not have a prayer. But he wasn't even the one that was most disappointing. Lance McCullers, you needed him last night. You needed your $17-a-year million guy, fresh new deal. You needed him. Hair flowing. You had Altuve out. You had Bregman out. You had Alvarez out. You had Maldonado out. You needed him to come to play. And not only did he make it 3-0 before you could even go to the restroom, it was 3-0 in the second.
No
Bam.
Hot dog, no beer,
no
nothing.
No hot dog, no. It's 3-0. You didn't even settle in. Some people didn't even make it into their seats yet. It's 3-0 by the time he gets it going. He didn't give you 4 innings. Didn't do that. But then after the game, he has the thought process after the game doing his Zoom press conference to bring this up.
I'll just say that we felt that it would have been better if we weren't there today. I think it would have been the smartest thing to do, but we were overruled.
And after the game, after that performance, when your team needed you to step up, you're out here talking about, I just don't think we should have played. He was making excuses, talking. That's what I took it as. He was talking about, it just seems like some teams get games canceled due to COVID other than other teams. I don't know how they make this decision. Nah, man, that's not what they want to hear. That's not what we want. That's not what nobody wants to hear.
Well, after you have an outing like you had, that regardless of what everybody wants to hear, that shouldn't be what you say.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you know, you're, as you mentioned, you're a $75 million guy now. There was an opportunity that presented itself to the Astros where you were toeing the rubber in a critical moment. Yeah, it's early in the season. That's fine. The team was on a 4-game slide. It was missing three of their big bats at the plate. And the team, the organization in that moment needed a monster day from you, right? Give us 6. Hell, give us 5. We'll be happy with 5. And keep them in that 2-3 to 3 run area. You go 3 2/3 and ultimately end up giving up 6 earned runs. I know you didn't, like, you weren't on the rubber when all 6 runs scored, but you were
put
credited,
them all on.
You were credited with 6 earned runs. Like, you got to go to the podium with one thing in mind, and that is, I'll get better. This one's on me. I messed the bed. I missed an opportunity. And I'm going to get better. And you got to understand that anything else is going to be viewed as an excuse for why you pitch so poorly. And I'm with you, man. That's one of those comments show for me. I don't understand wise heads in that space, but I damn sure don't understand why you would literally say it anyway. I mean, just generally speaking.
It's the second time in the last 2 years that he's done that. When he's gotten rocked in a game, he complained about the roof being closed last year after he got absolutely rocked in a game. It was just like, dude, man. And I know maybe I'm being unfair to Lance. Maybe I'm being unfair to Lance. But when Lance got a new contract, when they said, we're gonna give Lance $85 million because we believe that you're a guy who's going to be a big part of our team. We believe you're a guy who, when we are losing 5 straight games and we're looking to get swept by A.J. Hinch and the Tigers, a team that we're better than, and we have some guys that had to be out because of circumstances, that you come in and you give us a chance. Like, I didn't win it. You give us a chance. It's 3-0. It's 3-0. Before Kyle Tucker lost the taste of the bubble gum in his mouth. It's 3-0.
Kyle Tucker lost the taste of the bubble gum.
Yeah, that bubble, that big. That,
oh, that's how quick it happened.
That's how quick it happened.
I got you.
Well, that depends on the gum, though.
Well, they generally have that pink gum, and that's
Big League?
Big League
Chew?
Goes quick.
Oh, Big League
quick.
Chew is
that
so
taste,
good.
That taste goes quick. But, I mean,
well,
the game.
It's frustrating because – you know, this is a guy, again, that got paid handsomely. This is a guy that your position coach, Brent Strom, is on record of saying he expects a monster year. In fact, the top 10 year in terms of Cy Young voting in the AL. And I think even McCullers is on record of saying, look, man, I want to prove that I'm an ace. And then a perfect opportunity for you to build that resume is laid down at your feet, and you mess the bed, which is fine. Everybody has bad outings. I mean, nobody knows that more than I do. Everybody has bad outings, bad days. But then you go to the podium and you proceed to discuss why you shouldn't have been out there, why the team shouldn't have played at all. It's just a bad look, and I think there's a good chunk of people that are going to look at that like, man, my man's making excuses after he went out there and got shelled.
No, I mean, it'd be like if last Tuesday when I had an awful show, I was awful in here last Tuesday, and I had gone to Twitter, and I just said, man, the temperature in that studio
Oh, it's hot.
It just took me out.
It's too hot.
It's the reason why I was piss poor. I mean, that would be like if I did that. Obviously, I did not have a bad show last Tuesday, but I mean, you know,
I was fixing to say, well, if it wasn't the heat, what the hell was it?
I don't know. Maybe I just got a different expectation for Lance now. You didn't got paid. That other stuff is a change. It's a change deal. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. A story that we didn't really get a chance to talk about yesterday, which I think is made for us to talk about, is Aaron Donald, who had got himself in some trouble because he beat the brakes off somebody. I don't know how many punches that was. It shows to you Aaron Donald seems like a gentleman who's got a good tight right, like a good tight in close quarters right, because he lit this Spriggs fella up. I don't know his first name. But we've gotten some new information, Clint, and I'm just going to read what it says.
Well, wait. So what happened was a fella came, he's pressing charges, right?
He's pressing charges. He got knocked out.
Aaron Donald, the best defensive lineman in the league right now.
L.A. Rams.
And I think it, so here's the deal, is because before we go to the details, let's just cover the fact that this guy thought it was a good idea to get in any kind of physical altercation with the I would say he's the number one guy in all of sports that's not a fighting sport, not UFC or boxing. I would say he's the number one guy.
I think so, number one.
I mean, yeah. I would say he's definitely on the top three, top five.
Rushmore of it, yeah.
I mean, he's got to be, right? Maybe not of all time. I'm talking about right now.
No, I'm talking about right
active
now.
Active professional athletes, if you had to pick a guy that you have, like, I mean, no business.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do everything I can to get out of this. Aaron Donald's on that list. He's number one for me. I can't think of anybody other than him right now on the top of my list. I mean, tight quarters, the power he can generate in about a 12-inch span, arm's length, the power he can generate, the explosive. I mean, there's just, you have zero chance. There's no weaknesses. It's Aaron Donald. And this cat thought it'd be a good idea to have a physical altercation with that person. That's who Aaron Donald is.
Yeah, apparently, as the story goes, he says Spriggs, the fellow who got knocked the hell out, he says that he bumped into Aaron Donald on accident and that he was met with a punch and a kick by Aaron Donald and a friend. He does admit to throwing a bottle at him. That may have got you in trouble. I'd like to know when that bottle throw happened.
Yes, right? That may
because
have got
to
you,
me,
Bo.
To me, if you took that punch, you wouldn't have been able to be together to throw a bottle. The punch that I saw, your ass would have been out.
Right.
Well, no, I believe that bottle happened prior to that.
Here's how that
punch
happened. Aaron Donald, probably they may have bumped into each other, but Aaron Donald probably had one person in front of him, one person behind him that's a little buffer. The bump happened. They turned, looked at each other. The bodyguards realized, hey, man, we got to step in the middle of this. They step in the middle, and my man Spriggs throws the bottle over the security guard, which in return, Aaron Donald splits the double team.
I like I'm there.
He splits the double team and swells my man's right eye.
My favorite part about this is this all occurred in Pittsburgh at the after hours club called the Boom Boom Room. And if you all are in Pittsburgh looking for the Boom Boom Room, it's right off East Carson Street. The Boom Boom Room.
I don't care where it's located. The only Boom Boom Room I'm looking for is Ray's. If it wasn't Ray's, I ain't going. Ray's Boom Boom Room.
He beat the hell out. You know you threw that bottle at him first.
Come on, man.
There's no way he could have took that punch and threw that bottle.
I've done some stupid things in my time. But let me tell you, messing with a dude like that ain't one of them.
Yeah, it's got to be. You got to use weapons if I had to be forced to mess with him. And I'm not going. I don't see how I'd be forced. All right, I think there is a section in this entire Deshaun Watson situation that's being blamed too much. We'll discuss that next.
So some old boy decided it'd be a good idea to throw a bottle at Aaron Donald, the best defensive lineman, one of the strongest dudes on the planet, and he got knocked, what you call smooth out, baby. I hope before that he was making better decisions and he was drinking cold Coors Light, and at least the bottle he threw at Aaron Donald, I hope it was a cold Coors Light. That'll tell me the guy had at least a little bit of class. Cold Coors Light, baby. It's made to chill. Coors Light, it was born in the Rocky Mountains in 1978, but the first 23,000 cases of cold Coors Light of Silver Bullets they were delivered straight to the great state of Texas. That's right. Coors Light, they've been keeping Texas chill for many, many, many a year, folks. Here in Texas, when we kick back, we know how to take things from good to super good, baby. And we do it by adding cold Coors Light to whatever situation it is. If you're pissed off because the Astros are on a five-game skid, drink Coors Light. If you're pissed off because the Texans are in a rebuild phase and are losing one of the best young quarterbacks in the game and he done got his ass in some trouble, drink Coors Light, baby. The Rockets, if you're a fan of theirs, get you two Coors Lights because you got a long road to hoe, baby. The moral of the story is take that next exit, hit that C-Store, Kroger's, HEB, go hit that beer out and get you a 12-pack of cold Coors Light. Coors Light, made to chill. Coors Light, celebrate responsibly.
Clint, I almost feel like there is a group that I think is getting hit a little too hard. I've heard it. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen it on the text line here. I've heard it here. I've heard it from Landry. I've heard it from Lopez. I've heard it from – I feel like in this Deshaun situation, the Deshaun Watson camp, the people around him, from the lawyers to the quarterback coach, to Quincy Avery, to all – like, listen, have they made some errors and some mistakes? Yeah, but for them to catch a lot of the heat that they've been catching and a lot of the blame, I think is a little over the top to me, because I think the person, if they are down here, the person that's up here and there's a wide gap is Deshaun. And Deshaun is the one that, not saying he's guilty or whatever, but his decision-making has put them in the position that they're in right now. And to me, there's a mention to some of the things they could have done differently, but really, man, the things that keep coming out and everything, like, Deshaun is the one that has put his team in this position that they're having to try to make decisions and defend through 22 cases or 25 or however many women who've come out and accused of them. Once again, not saying that he's guilty of this, but just the mere fact that they're in this position, like, this blame 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 has to be at the feet of Deshaun Watson.
Look, there's no question about it. Look, I mean, I think there's you can connect the dots in several situations with this Deshaun Watson deal, and you can drag whoever you would like into the mix and create a narrative around each one of those guys. But ultimately, you know, there's one person at fault here. This isn't a guy that was, or this isn't a situation where there's an individual in his quote unquote entourage that has him hanging out in strip joints all hours of the night. And he's doing things in there he shouldn't do and getting accused of sexual assault or any kind of harassment, or he's fighting, getting in fights in the parking lot because this one individual is encouraging him to drink too much or encouraging him to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's not the case here. And so I have a hard time leaning on the camp being responsible for, what Deshaun Watson has done to this point, for sure. There's friends that are out there that happen to be trainers or marketing agents or representatives in some way, shape, or form that are going to be mentioned in this case because they're flipping direct messages and text messages all over the place.
Yeah.
Right? And so those guys are going to be mentioned, but in no way, shape, or form do I feel like any of the guys in Deshaun Watson's world have influenced him in a way that's caused what you see at this point. I don't connect those dots. I don't think that's the case. And so I have a really difficult time making them a bigger part of this scenario than what they really, really are.
They're not the
key players that are influencing Deshaun to do bad things. This is a circumstance where Deshaun is doing things, whether he's guilty of any kind of breaking the law or not. Yeah, regardless. But it's a scheme, if you will, that Deshaun Watson appears to be, for the most part, executing on his own behind closed doors you know, walking in silence, walking in shadows without anybody else knowing. Now, it doesn't surprise me that, like, Quincy Avery would be a guy in Atlanta that would suggest, hey, this massage therapist here has worked on somebody I know. She says they say she's good. You should use her. That doesn't surprise me that he does that. He's a facilitator for a lot of things for athletes and for quarterbacks specifically, whether it's massage therapy or training, on-field training, weight room training, draft prep, chiropractor work. I mean, all of those things are part of what Quincy Avery does on a daily basis with several quarterbacks. I mean, look, people cannot like their social media habits, but when it's all said and done, those guys and those social media habits are absolute non-factors in this
situation,
particular issue.
You put it right. Nobody has put, like, it hasn't been, all right, Deshaun and such and such were caught in this situation or accused in this situation. Like you said, man, this been a solo act. Like, this has been one person. Like, I've heard, like, he needs to separate himself or break ways with his camp. Maybe the thought should be the other way around. I mean, because that there's been one person who has put the camp in this situation. And I was listening on In the Loop, and you should use that Odyssey Rewind app and go ahead and use that to go ahead and listen to their interview they had with Will Hobson of the Washington Post about 11:30. I was listening to that, and he had this interesting note to say, because we've heard other potential or other legal analysts even bring this up, to where even more you would look at potential blame towards or potential blame not towards his camp because of the situation that he's put them in. We'll let you hear that, but to an extent where Will Hobson is questioned, just like attorney Sam has a question of how straightforward Deshaun has been to his legal team, how straightforward he's been to his camp, and potentially things that have just come up out of nowhere that have just said, where did that come from? Where the hell did that pop up? And wondering how straightforward Deshaun has been with them. And that's another space where we can blame the camp, but shoot, we just hear stuff popping up where, you know, a good attorney wouldn't advise a client to do something
if they knew
that was out there.
Well, living in hindsight is dangerous, right? I mean, it's one of those where you go, okay, the general counsel response, the emails that have been brought up before Rusty Hardin was hired. Right now, that looks foolish as hell because there's 22 lawsuits.
Yes.
But if when Deshaun, who's general counsel, who, to my knowledge, is basically what that is an agency that has a retainer on a certain attorney group to handle very minor, in-the-moment types of situation, consult, advise, legally, that kind of thing. And if this comes up and Deshaun gives them the old, well, no, I didn't do nothing. It was just a massage, man. You need to make it go away. Then that's one thing. But it's not like Deshaun went to them and said, hey, man, there's 25 of them out there. Like, or 23. There's 23 out there. And, man, I had 50-plus massage therapists that I used over the last year. Man, this thing could get awfully hairy. You might want to choose your words wisely. I don't know that necessarily was the case. I know at this point in time it looks foolish.
Yes.
Right? I mean, but I don't know that were the case. And if there were somebody that told Deshaun Watson to put out that original tweet, I don't know that he went in and told that person, like, hey, man, I've been carrying out this scheme for over a year now, and there's a firestorm at the end
stuff.
Of this. Could be some dicey stuff. No, I'm pretty sure he went in there and told them specifically what the message said of, I've never done any of this. And they crafted the tweet. Now, was it a good idea? We're talking about, in my opinion, we're talking about things that are absolute non-factors in this case, given where it's at right this moment. But, you made a great point of truth be told, at this point, I don't know if the camp ain't looking at Deshaun and going, maybe we made the mistake. Maybe we made the mistake of maybe we should worry about you. Maybe we should. maybe we should all
because
distance ourselves from the quarterback.
No matter how you feel about the attorney, no matter how you feel about the representation, even the dumbest attorney wouldn't have Deshaun Kraft a message immediately after if he knew any of this stuff was down
right,
the pipe.
Right.
If he knew that there was any kind of message that Deshaun sent to someone, which we've heard is true, a message saying, you know, I apologize for what happened, didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable. There's no way that an attorney, even the dumbest one, would say, here, yeah, this is a good move. So, yeah, I mean, there's a wonder with what he's been saying and how forthcoming, which a lot of people have wondered. So I just think, man, we keep pushing the blame towards or pushing this level of blame towards the camp. No, this thing falls 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on Deshaun for putting them in this position, for making reckless decisions in terms of, hey, I'm going to find people on Instagram to get massages and do this 40, 50 times. To me, that's a reckless move. Like, that has put them in this situation, not the camp and some tweets they've made.
Well,
in
hindsight, there may have been a couple of hiccups, things that they would do differently. You know, like I think Rusty Harden would make sure that one of the 18 girls that he brought to the table to vouch for Deshaun Watson didn't have a direct message out there that's pretty it's opposite of what she said originally. I know she cleaned that up as the best that she can, but you know, there's hiccups along the way with all of these things, and you could very easily zero in on one of them if you so choose. I just me personally, I have a hard time arriving at Deshaun Watson needs to change the individuals that are representing him and the individuals that are around him.
This text that just came in, Clint: other than Rusty, Watson's camp is full of bad influences and bad decision makers.
Well, the influence is the bad decision makers. Again, there's been a couple of hiccups along the way that you could very easily single out, but the influence,
who's influenced
Deshaun Watson to do what he did? Who's influenced? You think Quincy Avery picked up the phone and called Deshaun Watson and said, hey, here's what I want you to do. I got this girl in Georgia that I want you to fly in, and I want you to put her up here. I want you to pay for everything. I want you to go over there and do this, this, and that. Yeah, no, he didn't. This isn't a bad influence of guys that Deshaun Watson's getting popped with drug tests all the time because he's hanging out in the streets and he's smoking too much, or he's messing around and he's out of shape, and he's not coming to camp in shape. He's not taking the game serious. It, you know, the streets are eating him up. That's an influence. This is not in any way, shape, or form an influence. Deshaun made these decisions consciously and consistently to what we know at this point in time to put himself in a very risky position with people he did not know, doing very suspect things and toeing the line, and it didn't come at the hands of anybody in his camp. It was him.
Yeah, no, they have not been perfect, but 90% of why they're here is the decision-making of Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And the clarity from Deshaun Watson. Like, I'm saying this right now, the blame of Quincy Avery and Deshaun's initial lawyer still has some to blame because they didn't take the $100,000 settlement. But that's fine. That would have been one. What about the next 21 that came, or 23 that came rolling down the line?
Well, but here's the deal. Like, again, general counsel, like in a situation like that, I would be interested to hear, like, that. I don't know who all athletes first. I don't know who all they represent, but there's a slew of guys they represent. I would be interested to see the number of emails that started exactly the way that the Deshaun Watson one did and never surfaced. I would be willing to bet you the original email that was sent saying, hey, Deshaun supposedly did this, won $100,000. That is probably a pretty common occurrence with that agency and with that particular general counsel. And most of them, you negotiate them. You get it down as low as you possibly can. You pay it. You make it go to bed. This one didn't work out that way. It's unfortunate that they didn't, but 99.9% of the time, they negotiate, it goes away, and I bet it happens a lot more than people think it happens.
Yes, as I consider, like, they had some missteps, but the things that have continued to make it worse are potentially decisions that Deshaun has made. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Let's get Clint fired up. This is Brian Baldinger. He had an opinion about one of Clint's favorite players in this upcoming draft, Zach Wilson. Take it away, Brian.
When you watch him, there's not a game that you could put on where there aren't certain throws that just wows you. Now, part of the problem is we've been watching Aaron Rodgers do this for a decade and a half, and we've been watching Patrick Mahomes make throws like this for the last 3 years. And so you just naturally start drawing comps to those two players, the way he throws the football. And then if you just look at his mechanics, you look at his ball handling, you look at the way that he gets rid of the ball, the way he goes through progressions, you just go, he's got everything it takes to be successful at this level. The arm talent, you can't be really underscored enough just how special it looks. And I think Joe Douglas and the Jets are very comfortable by what they have seen, and that's why they jettisoned Sam Darnold.
Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes from Brian.
Don't do it.
Brian Baldy.
I love Baldy.
Zach Wilson, baby.
I love Baldy. I don't think Zach Wilson's going number two. I don't think he should go number two for damn sure. I do think he's got an electric arm and unbelievable arm talent. I do believe that. I think that evaluation is very, very spot on. I do not believe that anybody, whether you're training, analyzing, or evaluating quarterbacks, I don't believe that anyone should shape their mouth to say that quarterback X, Y, and Z
stood in it.
Does anything like Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes. Those are hands down the best two passers of the football ever pass a football.
One and two. Yep. Most.
I mean, it's not. And to say that this kid, we've been watching Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes do this for years, so we take this kid for granted. Come on, Baldy. No, I just can't. I can't get with it. I just can't. And
well,
I'm not. Look,
Zach is a fun player.
Zach's a fun player to watch. I love. If Zach didn't have the combination of a wild ass game, right, and being injury prone and a slender build, and a style of game that very rarely translates to the NFL, healthily anyway, then I'd be a big fan of Zach Wilson. I'm concerned about his style and his health. The combination of those two not allowing him to be great, especially not allowing him to be special if he goes to the Jets, a rebuilding organization. I'm not taking anything away from the kid. I think the kid can play. I don't think he's a top five quarterback. I think Trevor Lawrence is legitimately the only top five quarterback, really I'd say only top 10 quarterback on the entire list.
I mean, what would you have to see from a guy to make you even think that? Like, what would you have to see from a guy to make you think?
You shouldn't.
Mahomes.
There's nothing. There's nothing, show. There's nothing that – can a guy have – can we just say a guy – he's got an electric arm and he's got elite arm talent? Just say elite.
Who's
just
somebody
say it's
else,
electric.
Who's somebody else, not to put you on the spot, that had an electric arm but wasn't a damn thing in the league?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of air raid guys that – I mean, Drew Lock is
– Oh, yes.
Drew Lock is one of them.
He's got an amazing arm, and he does.
He can rip it. He throw it on the run. He can throw it falling off the falling sideways. He can do all kind of things. But it's that don't win in the league, man.
Well, we're seeing it. He's not successful right now. New developments here, potentially in the Deshaun Watson situation. We'll tell you exactly what those are coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Yeah. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.